T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Peter King will be joining us in just a moment. We're getting him on the dial pad guest line right now. He is one of the biggest names in covering all the NBA, and we're going to get into everything that happened, starting with the breaking news today that Eli Manning has been benched by the New York Giants. Of course, we're going to bring this back to the 49ers, the Raiders, so much player movement, all these stories. Peter King here with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Peter, thank you for joining us. Great to have you here on the dial pad guest line. Peter appears courtesy of Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Visit friedmansappliance.com today. Peter, thank you. What do you think of the timing of the Giants' decision to bench Eli?
I think it's probably about a year or two too late, really. But, you know, I've been an advocate of making this move ever since Ben McAdoo kind of ham-handedly did it when he was still coaching this team. You know, in New York, I guess you'd say, you know, heroes die hard. Heroes die hard everywhere. And I just think that Eli Manning, who has been a mediocre quarterback for 7 years, since he walked off the field beating the Patriots for the second time in the Super Bowl. You know, he's as wonderful a human being that has ever played in the city of New York, in the area of New York. But, you know, the Giants have basically been, you know, have allowed him to survive, you know, on the basis of all of the great playoff games he played for this franchise, none of which have happened in the last 7 years. So, in my opinion, they gave him way, way, way too long a run after he beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl 7 years ago.
Is he a Hall of Fame quarterback?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like one of the reasons that I like there to be a sort of a cooling off period after a player's career of, you know, the cooling off period of 5 years after a player retires, I think is important because it allows you to not make, you know, a sudden reaction. It's like after he won the second Super Bowl, everybody was saying, well, he's a lock for the Hall of Fame now. And I'm just not sure that he is a lock for the Hall of Fame. And I'm not sure he was one then either. And, you know, if you look at his regular season record, he's never been, I don't think in any year he has ever played in the NFL, has he been a top three quarterback. And part of going to the Hall of Fame is being a dominant player in your era. I think he was dominant in a couple of playoff runs. I don't think he was ever really a dominant quarterback in the NFL. So that's going to be a sticky one when that is considered, probably way past my time. But it's going to be a tough one. I think it'll be an emotional one, too, because those who believe in the power of Super Bowls, which, and again, I'm not trying to demean the importance of Super Bowls. It's the most important game on the calendar. I get it. But I don't think that if you are largely a good but not great regular season quarterback, I do not think two Super Bowls and two Super Bowl MVPs are a key to Canton, you know, automatically get you into Canton.
So I agree with you. We're probably about 2 years late to the demise of Eli, but any possibility that the Steelers, the Jets, or maybe Tom Coughlin's Jaguars would be interested in using him as a fill-in for their missing quarterbacks?
I wouldn't be shocked if there was some interest, but I get the strong impression that, for instance, in Pittsburgh, the Steelers really are interested in seeing what Mason Rudolph looks like. And who knows, 3 weeks from now, if Mason Rudolph is a colossal failure, maybe they go looking. But here's the one part of this issue. And I think everybody is saying, wow, could they trade Eli? And I don't mean this in an obnoxious way. But have you watched Eli Manning play football?
I have.
In the last 2 or 3 years?
Not good.
He's not good. And so he's a great guy, a great locker room guy. Everybody loves him. He's earnest. He works his rear end off. He's great. But he's a little bit, he reminds me a little bit like of the Alex Smith syndrome. Great guy, wonderful guy. You like him. And if he's on your team playing quarterback, you think it's okay. But you don't look at Alex Smith and say, man, I want him to be my quarterback for the next 15 years. And I think the issue now with Eli is if you've watched him play, and I did a graphic, or I did a stat last year in my column in which I looked since the day of the second Super Bowl against New England, I looked at the 7 years since then and all of the quarterbacks in the NFL who had played in that period of time. And Eli Manning, in by any statistical measure, it was either he or Joe Flacco. They were very close. Which one of those? There were 15 guys who had been consistent starters over that period of time, and they were 14 and 15. And, you know, after a while, you just say, boy, it'd be great to get a good veteran guy to come and lead our team. Well, he's got to play football, too. It's like, it'd be like acquiring a great hitter at age 39, but that great hitter has been hitting 190 for the last 2 years. I mean, do you really want him?
It feels like we're now talking about the San Francisco Giants. Let's go ahead and bring it back to the NFL here, Peter. The 49ers, you picked them as a playoff team, and here they are 2-0 and are just coming off the most complete football thought I think we've seen of the Kyle Shanahan era in Cincinnati. What'd you walk away from that game thinking?
You know, I talked to Shanahan after the game, and I asked him, you know, what he has thought of the first couple of weeks. And he said, you know, I'm just really happy that we have shown that we can win games in a variety of ways. And I think that even though they have lost, you know, their two prime running backs, and, you know, again, like last year, they have to go with their backup running backs. I think that part of the offense has been really, really good. I think the other part of this team that you're finally seeing bear a little bit of fruit is the defensive front, which has been totally frustrating for the last 2 years. But I think in these first two games, not that they're playing great teams, but in these first two games, they've shown that that defensive front is finally paying off the investment that Lynch and Shanahan have made in it.
I want to go back to Eli Manning for a second, only to ask this one question. Ben McAdoo lost his job because he demoted him, which in all football ways was defensible, and yet he's not going to get a sniff at another head coaching job. Is that because politics still matter more than football judgment when it comes to players of that stature?
Ray, I'm not sure he lost his job because of how he handled Eli. I think that was the last straw, but I don't think that's why he lost his job. I think that he was deemed to not really be in great control of his team. And I'm not sure at the end that ownership had any confidence in his ability to get the team back. Which, you know, hey, look, he's the only guy in the last 7 years to lead this team to the playoffs. So, you know, Ben McAdoo, and I've said this, Ben McAdoo was the adult in the room when it came to Eli Manning. And it's ridiculous that he got shouted down by Giant alums, Giant fans, talk show hosts, everything. It was just ridiculous because, honestly, he did the right thing. Absolutely, unequivocally did the right thing. But I think at the end of the day, you know, the Giants, I wouldn't feel that confident in Pat Shurmur's ability down the road either. This new quarterback has to play well this year, I think, for them to go into 2020 with the same brain trust atop the team.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Kyle Shanahan has been labeled a great play caller. What do the Niners have to do for anyone to pivot to him being a good coach? Head coach.
Give him some time when he's got a good quarterback and more of a complete defense than he's had. That's what he has right now. If at the end of this year, if Jimmy Garoppolo plays 16 weeks and we get through this season and the 49ers are 6-10 or 7-9, then you have to really start asking yourself, did Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch know what they're doing? I don't think that's going to be the case. But again, you got to let the season play out. I think I've thought all along that Kyle Shanahan was the right guy for this job, particularly with a young, impressionable, malleable quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo. And I just think you got to let him have the season. It's like, you know, if you ask me right now about Cam Newton, as odd as this sounds, I say it's impossible to make a judgment on Cam Newton right now. You've got to let him play. The first year back from shoulder surgery is always a year of adjustment. You're not the same quarterback. You're not the same guy who's going to air it out just flippantly and be able to throw the ball around like Brett Favre all the time. And I think the same thing is the case right now with Kyle Shanahan. Just let him coach this team. See what happens by the end of this year. There's no sense, no need, it doesn't make any sense to sort of take the temperature of him and how he's doing every week. Because at the end of the year, I think you'll see all the pluses and minuses, and you'll see if he's doing it right and if he's the guy for the long term for this team.
Got the Rams coming 2-0 off a Super Bowl appearance. Seattle 2-0 playoff appearance. San Francisco 49ers 2-0 with the best point differential in the conference. Is the NFC West the best division in football right now?
I would say today, yes. I would say that. I would not have said that at the beginning of the year. I've been pleasantly surprised by the Seahawks. And, you know, they're going to be one of those teams that can go in a lot of different directions because I think they may well be in play for Jalen Ramsey. And if they get Jalen Ramsey, whoever gets Jalen Ramsey, in my opinion, is going to be a win or two better than they would have been. I think he's that good, and I think he's that much of a difference maker. But I think all three of those teams, it goes without saying, are very capable of making the playoffs and winning at least one playoff game. But again, I mean, the 49ers, it's going to be so interesting to watch them because, you know, obviously that wasn't your biggest test of the season, either in Tampa or Cincinnati. But together, winning those games by an average of 19 points and being on the road, being away from home for 10 days, it's funny. Shanahan said something funny. He said by the end of it, he said it felt like we were on Eastern time, that was our correct time zone. We didn't feel like a West Coast team playing early. And if that is the only benefit of staying back east in Youngstown for the week, I think that was a smart thing to do because then you're not dragging at the start of a game. You should never be dragging at the start of the game if you're a professional athlete in any sport. But human nature does tell you that in time, in history, you know, West Coast teams playing the early game on the East Coast many times have struggled, and they didn't in either place.
Peter, should the 49ers take more interest in Jalen Ramsey?
Yes, but you would have to first, I would first have to know if they were going to chase Jalen Ramsey. You have to ask yourself, you have to really do some fact finding on Jalen Ramsey, because at times he has been a disruptive guy. And if you trade for him, it's probably going to cost you something in the vicinity of, at best, a 1 and a 2, and maybe 2 1s. And so if you're going to make that trade, you have to know that you're going to sign him long term. And if you're going to sign him long term, you don't want to have a guy who's going to be a jerk on your team. And I don't really know Jalen Ramsey. I had a conversation with him at training camp this year. You'd have to decide whether you think the culture of your team can handle him. I'd be comfortable in Kyle Shanahan handling him. But again, you have to look at the young guys on your team, and you have to look at all the players who you have to sign, you figure are going to be core players for you, who you want to sign long term. And then you have to ask yourself, are we comfortable with Jalen Ramsey making 18 or 20 million a year, and what that's going to do to our cap management? And I don't really know the answer to that. I don't know their, you know, what their plans are and who they want to sign and all that. So those are the things I think you'd have to know before you could just blanket say, absolutely, categorically, we want Jalen Ramsey.
How many teams are going to be effectively out of the playoff race at the end of this week? I mean, other than the Jets.
You mean
how
many teams are going to be 0-3, or like Pittsburgh, for instance, be in such a bad injury situation that you cannot envision them in any way making the playoffs?
Correct.
I mean, yeah, I would say, Ray, I'd say there'd be a good core of 10 of those. You know, you can go down the list right now and find at least 10. But in play, like the Giants are not making the playoffs, but I think there's going to be a lot of interest from their fan base. They will show up to watch the Giants play because they want to see the future of their franchise at quarterback. Now, is he going to be the future of the franchise? He better be, or a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. So that's one thing. You know, and there are other teams where you look and you say, like Washington, when they start playing Dwayne Haskins, which at some point this year they probably should, then that fan base is going to be energized for a little while. So I don't know, other than, and I'd have to look at the list, but, you know, Miami, obviously it's an absolute disaster that, and I don't want to get too emotional or whatever the right word would be, but I think the NFL might have to look at what's happening in Miami, because, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick, who they just traded to Pittsburgh, first of all, you got a one for him. Let's say it's going to be Pittsburgh, I think, is going to be maybe, whatever, 6 and 10 or something like that. So that's going to be maybe the 8th pick in the draft. All right, so you have to ask yourself this question. If you have the 8th pick in the draft, and Minka Fitzpatrick was a building block, a nucleus guy for your defense, you're going to be looking to draft somebody just like Minka Fitzpatrick with that pick that you acquired from Pittsburgh. Or you're going to package it to try to move up to get a quarterback if you don't have the first pick in the draft, which I would think they probably would. But this is an absolute unequivocal tank job to get the best picks in the draft that they can. That's it. There's no disguising it. And what they are doing is, you know, to me, I think football is so different than, say, when the 76ers were tanking or when the Houston Astros were tanking. Say, you tell me if a Miami receiver this week has a crossing route over the middle and Ryan Fitzpatrick throws a ball and he's in traffic, you tell me if this receiver is going to go diving for a football across the middle knowing that he absolutely could get blown up. I wouldn't if I were him. Why are you doing it? You know, you know that your team that the stated goal, whatever the stated goal is, oh, yeah, we're trying to win. You're not trying to win. You're trying to get the best draft position that you can in 2020, period. You can say you're trying to win, and, of course, the coach is trying to win. But the team as an entity is not trying to win. So I just think right now that that is one of the worst. This is one of the worst things. I've never seen this in all my years of covering football where, you know, you follow trading your best offensive lineman right before the start of the season. After two games, you trade one of your two best defensive players, you know, along with Xavier Howard. You've already traded your number two wide receiver in Kenny Stills. It's, you know, I mean, there's no of course, you're in the best draft position that anybody in recent history has been in. And so that's fine. But it is the middle of September, and you have less than no hope.
Yeah, my
you're not going 0-16. You're going 0-20.
My worry is that the NFL, which is the ultimate copycat league, Peter, if Miami is looking at a much better team improved in the 2021-2022 season because they tanked to get there, this might become a trend. I mean, you know, the next general manager will say, well, we need to do that too now.
I agree totally. I agree totally. So, in other words, if that's the case, if people are going to say that, what's the NFL going to do about it? The only solution, in my opinion, and I hate this, I really hate this, is a draft lottery. I don't like it at all because this is the first time that I truly think, since I've been covering the league, that a team is trying to get the first pick in the draft badly rather than trying to win games. And so, you know, you look at it and you say, there's all this code language for this. Well, we want to give our team, we want to, Chris Greer, the general manager, talked today. And look, I understand he is under orders to build the best team long-term that he can build. I get it. Okay, and the best team long term has to start with either Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert or whoever the best young quarterback is going to be after this season. But just ask yourself this question. I mean, what precedent? And I totally agree with you. What precedent are you setting for the next few years in the NFL? The commissioner needs to be cognizant of this, and the competition committee needs to be cognizant of this too.
Always a pleasure to talk a little football with you, Peter. Real quick on the way out the door, I know they just got clobbered by a much better and superior Kansas City team, but the Raiders would have rolled over and died and lost that game by 50 a year ago. I think they're a lot better, even though they just got clocked.
You know, they are a lot better. And Patrick Mahomes is going to do what he did to the Raiders in the second quarter. He's going to do that to a lot of teams in his career. He's going to embarrass a lot of defensive backs in his career. I thought about this and I wrote it the other day in my column and I had to take a deep breath and think about it for a minute. But you know, since I've been covering the NFL in 1984, I do not remember a quarterback who has come in and from the moment he started starting, he was a dominant player and an explosive player the way that Patrick Mahomes is. Everybody has had some growing pains, like, right away. But it's almost like Patrick Mahomes has walked into football, and whoever walks in and is the best player in football the day he starts playing.
He showed up as a finished product.
You can't tell me that since opening day 2018, there's no argument about who the best player in football is since opening day 2018. I just find this guy to be absolutely amazing. And so, therefore, if I'm John Gruden, I walk off that field and tip my hat to the guy and say, we're trying to build a team that's going to be able to compete with you in the next few years. That is our whole goal. And they did okay. With the exception, obviously, of the second quarter. I don't know who is going to play the Chiefs any better over four quarters, really, right now, than the Raiders did the other day.
Peter, thank you so much. A real pleasure as always. Talk to you again next week.
Thanks a lot.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. By the way, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Deebo Samuel will be joining us for the very first time. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to inviting you to join us for the Tuesday Trifecta. It comes up right now. Albie, unbusy those bad boy lines. 888-957-9570. Our topic today is two and oh la la. I know it's like ooh la la, but just play along, shall we? Question number one. In 2 weeks of NFL action, what's the best thing you've seen? A team, a player, a play, a moment. What's the best thing you've seen through 2 weeks of NFL action? Question number two, if Eli Manning is officially the guy that was held on to for too long, who is the next guy in sports, not just football, who is the next guy in sports to be the player that that team definitely held on to for way too long? And finally, and this is going to be a good one today, Matt Ray, HBO is bold enough to ask the question, who are the three greatest characters in HBO history? I'm going to ask for the two greatest characters in HBO history. You get one from a drama. You get one from a comedy. If your character provides comic relief in a drama, they are still qualified. But I'm going to make it even harder than HBO made it. You only get two. Two best characters in the history of HBO. Two and oh la la. The best thing you've seen in 2 weeks of NFL action, the next guy that someone in sports, a team held on to for too long will be, and who are the two greatest characters in the history of HBO? 888-957-9570. Ask for it by name. Accept no substitutes. The Tuesday Trifecta is coming up next here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
And suddenly over the loudspeaker I heard...
Trifecta.
Triple.
Trifecta.
With a triple.
Trifecta.
It's the Tuesday Trifecta. One topic, three questions. Here's Damon Bruce.
It's not Ray's favorite segment because it works. It's Ray's favorite segment because he has to
work the
least. Exactly.
It does work, though.
But I am going to ask you, Ray, get your answers ready because we're going to come to you at the end. Welcome to your Tuesday Trifecta. The third question here is no easy question. It's one of those there are no wrong answers, but I'm sure we'll identify a wrong answer or step or two along the way. Let's officially do this, and welcome to the Tuesday Trifecta. Our topic today is two and oh la la. Ooh la la? Whatever. You know what I'm trying to do. Let's be out.
Two la la?
Two la la? True la la? I don't know. Ooh la la. This is Mike, Mechanic Mike in San Bruno. Are you ready, Mechanic Mike, to be our guinea pig today?
I'm ready, D. Bruce, Matt Kolsky, and last and least, Mr. Ray Ratto, welcome. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
What is the best thing, Mechanic Mike, that you've seen through 2 weeks of NFL football?
I think I'm going to have to go with the New England Patriots and their point differential. It's just out of this world.
Who in sports would you nominate to be the next you held on for him too long guy?
Ooh, it's a toss-up, but I'm going to go with Cam. It's going to be either Cam or Eli, but I'm going with Cam on this one.
HBO asked the question for people to list their three favorite characters. I'm only going to give you the chance to list two. Your two favorite characters in HBO history, you can go one from drama, one from comedy, but one must be comedic relief.
I'm going to have to go with James Gandolfini, the late, great James Gandolfini, as Tony Soprano. And can't go wrong with Dave Chappelle.
Well done. Dave Chappelle on HBO?
Yeah, I'm not sure where.
Where was Dave Chappelle on HBO?
He's done a bunch of
concerts. I thought I saw him there somewhere.
Oh, if we're doing a stand-up. I think he went straight from Comedy Central to Netflix.
I don't know.
He did some HBO shows.
Okay.
At least two that I know of.
All right, then. All right. Thank you very much. There you go. And look, you were dumping on Ray, and he rode to your rescue.
Seriously. The hell with him.
Chris San Leandro. Welcome, Chris. It is good to have you on. Thank you so much. The best thing you've seen through 2 weeks of football is what?
Man, Kwame Alexander looks good. That knee don't look bad to me.
Who is the next they held on to him for too long?
I can't believe the Warriors got rid of Bijan's and his contract. I'm so amazed that they did that. So,
wait, but he's already gone. I don't think you understand the question. Who is the person who is active in sports right now that will be the next you held on to him for too long? For example.
Well, you could say Buster Posey and Bumgarner.
I was about to, not Bumgarner, you can't, but Buster Posey was going to be the, for example, I was just about to give you. Wah, wah. By the way, Chris, two best characters in HBO history. Who you taking?
I love Larry David. And I love Spencer Strathmore. So I'm going with
Ballers.
That.
Wow. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Your second answer is a disaster. Let's be totally honest. Who? Who'd he say?
The lead character from Ballers. Spencer Strathmore is his name.
The Rock.
Yes. A solid character. It, you know, better than Vinny and Entourage, that's for sure. But I don't know about top two of all time. That's a stretch.
Like Stringer Bell's on the board, and you're going with The Rock from Ballers. Okay. Elliot in Palo Alto. Elliot, thank you very much. What's the best thing you've seen through 2 weeks of football?
This is my least appropriate answer, but I haven't even watched a little bit. I got to push back on the interview. Eli was horrible for most of the last 7 years because the O-line was horrible for most of the last 7 years. But the other ones, I got answers for you.
All right. Well, you don't get to choose your own path for the Tuesday trifecta. I want you to go home.
I'm being honest.
I want you to go home feeling shame, and you're not even allowed to answer the other two. Next time, take the bullet. Play the game.
Just pick something.
Duke in the city.
Come on,
here's
people.
A man who's got it. Duke.
Let's go, Duke.
How are you, Duke?
I'm good, Dave Rose, the great Matt Kosky, and Ray Rado, the legend.
Best thing you've seen through 2 weeks of football, Duke.
Boost that Niner monster defense, man. They're going to keep coming to Pittsburgh, man. I hope they're bringing them terrible towels because that Niner defense is on the loose, baby. That Niner defense.
Next, held on to him for too long guy in sports.
You know what? It's a guy that's kind of familiar with the Eli situation. It's kind of the guy that Eli got traded for. I'm going to say Phillip Rivers. How long is Phillip Rivers going to be quarterback in the Chargers, man? It seems like he's the only quarterback they ever had. So I will go Phillip Rivers. I love him, man, Rivers, but man, come on, he got to hang it up sooner or later.
The two greatest quarterbacks, or excuse me, the two greatest characters in HBO history are?
I will go with one of mine and one of my favorite HBO characters. He played in the movie Hoodlum. I'm going to go with Larry Fishburne. You can never go wrong with Larry Fishburne, King of New York. He played on that and, you know, Hoodlum. So we're going to do that. And then on the comic side, I'm going to go with Chris Rock. You can never go wrong with Chris Rock. He's been on HBO specials, so I'm going to try to keep it international.
We'll accept Chris Rock, but I don't think we can have Larry Fishburne as a proper answer because he never played an exclusive to HBO drama character. He's just been a guy on movies that have been on HBO.
Yeah, people are taking this whole HBO two characters thing way crazier than I expected. There's a lot of easy answers to this.
Think of the movies that are HBO specific
shows,
the series,
really, right?
The shows,
yeah, the
yes,
series.
The series. Not, you know, I saw E.T. on HBO. Let me tell you, E.T. is my favorite character in HBO history. Yeah. That's the wrong answer.
The Matrix was on HBO last night and Fishburne killed it.
Like, you get what we're doing here, right? Ruben, Castro Valley. Ruben, welcome. Tuesday trifecta. What's the best thing you've seen after 2 weeks of pro football?
I'm going to be a homer with this one, and I'm going to say Josh Jacobs on the Raiders.
Dude, solid. I love the way he finishes runs. Phenomenal. Yep. Next, held on to that guy for way too long candidate.
I'm thinking Andy Dalton.
The two greatest characters in HBO history, according to you, Ruben.
All right, I'm going to make it simple. It's going to be Tony Soprano and Tormund Giantsbane from Game of Thrones for my comic relief.
Wow.
That's not hard.
Go. Tormund.
Great work, Ruben.
Well done. Thank you very, very much. I got Jeremy in San Jose. Jeremy, you're next up. Best thing you've seen through 2 weeks. Jeremy, 1, 2, 3. Are you there? Wah, wah. I'll tell you what, take one more, Albie. One more. Jake Concord, what's going on, Jake? Thank you very much. Are you ready?
How you guys doing? Oh, yeah.
Best thing you've seen through 2 weeks of the NFL?
I got to say the end of the Broncos-Bears game. That thing totally fell apart on Fangio.
Poor Bradley Chubb. He deserved
no
better.
No sympathy.
He deserved
one and
better.
One, baby.
Next, held on to that guy for way too long, candidate is?
Already been said, but it's either going to be Posey or Manning for me.
The two greatest characters in HBO history are?
Not sure how these guys got left off the board, but it's going to have to be Kenny Powers, and it's going to have to be Ari Gold.
Ooh, Ari, not bad.
Very good. I'll allow two comedy characters just because we need to get this thing rolling. This is Mackie and Vallejo. Mackie, thank you very much. Best thing through 2 weeks of football?
Got to be Jimmy G, 9-2 as a Niner.
Held on to that guy for way too long. Who's next?
Got to be Brandon Belt. I've wanted him gone for years.
Two greatest characters in HBO history are?
It's got to be Ramsay from Game of Thrones and, of course, Omar Little.
There you go. Well, you want dark characters?
Yo, I'm not trying to hang with Mackie. Just saying. No offense. I'm sure he's a perfectly decent human being, but those favorite characters scare me a little.
They do. Those are two of the most sinister, awesome, interesting characters in the history of that channel. This is Don on the freeway. Don, best thing through 2 weeks of NFL football?
Ooh, Niners franchise. Gotta love him.
Next, held on to him for too long.
Yeah, Buster Posey. Sorry.
Two greatest characters in HBO history.
Hey, they already said it. The great Tony Soprano. And, hey, my favorite who made me crack up, Larry Merchant.
Ah, Jim.
I'll accept
that. Hold on, bro.
Yeah, I love it. No one had a pause between the word Jim. God, I love Larry Merchant. He was fantastic. We go to Ryan in Dublin. Ryan, you're our final caller here. Let's make it a good one. Best thing through 2 weeks of football?
Gotta be, Niners 2-0. It's the nicest pick for the Bay Area.
Held on to him for too long. Who is it?
I'm going to go Andrew Wiggins with the Timberwolves. They just can't get rid of him, and they're going to have to keep re-signing for years.
I was never going to think about a single Timberwolf. I'm glad you brought it up and just put it on the table. I really am. The two greatest characters in HBO history are?
I was going to go Kenny Powers. Someone took it from me earlier, but I'm going to stick Kenny Powers to the comedy side. And then drama is got to be Sansa. The last season was bad, but, she took it home.
Sansa was very good, and let me tell you, Kenny Powers was great, but I always thought he was like the third or fourth funniest guy in the show. Ashley Schaefer from Ashley Schaefer's BMW, his buddy. Who's Kenny Powers' buddy? Stevie Janowski? Stevie Janowski I always thought was funnier than Kenny Powers.
I tend to agree. For me, comedy, I go to Larry Sanders is always in my mind, but if I'm going to pick my personal favorite, I go to another character from a different Danny McBride show. The Walton Goggins character in Vice Principals was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And Arya. How did no one say Arya?
Somebody did, I think.
We got Sansa. I don't believe we got Arya.
Problem with Arya is that she got stuck in a storyline that went nowhere for over a season and a half.
Fair enough. But all she ever did was be a ridiculous badass and commit the most important murder in the show. Like, Come on, people. Respect Arya, a tiny little assassin.
It wasn't murder. It was a ritual killing. There's a huge difference.
You're right. That is my mistake.
I would love to nominate Rip Torn playing Artie from The Larry Sanders Show.
Kids, go watch The Larry Sanders Show on your HBO Go accounts. It is
genius.
Just pure genius.
Genius the whole way through. In terms of, look, Tony Soprano is the birth of so many great characters. Omar Little from The Wire, Stringer Bell from The Wire, Prop Joe from The Wire would have all been acceptable. I got to go with Tyrion Lannister.
Very strong.
I lied. The greatest character in the history of HBO, in my mind, is Al Schwieringen from Deadwood.
It's a great one.
Love Ian McShane. is Al Swearengen.
We've gotten several.
Is he comedy or is he drama, though?
It's
because I laughed. I laughed at him way more than that.
It works both ways.
He's so good in that. A lot of text line love for Arliss, which is funny.
I hated Arliss.
Yeah, not a fan either. But I'm glad people remember it.
I thought Robert Wool sucked. I thought the entire cast sucked. I thought the premise of most of the episodes sucked. That was in the I'm only watching HBO because there might be boobs on this episode phase of my HBO watching life.
That was a long phase.
It was legit, too. It really paid
for
off.
For sure. Oh, yeah. They deliver.
Like, I mean, you might as well at that point go on with, you know, my favorite character in the history of HBO is Shannon Tweed's turn on Necessary Roughness. Because, wow, mwah, she was
what
fantastic.
What a film. Kathy Ireland? Come on.
Or was it, what was it?
You're thinking of a different movie, because Necessary Roughness doesn't have any nudity, I don't
think.
There was
a really bad HBO series that was about a football team, and this is like early 80s. One of the first originally produced HBOs. It's been called First and Ten, Do It Again, or something like that.
Hard Knocks, the New York Jets.
Yeah, well, there's definitely that. All right. Ray, HBO aficionado, two best characters.
Edie Falco. No, The Sopranos.
She was phenomenal.
And Bunk Moreland from The Wire.
Yeah.
Oh, Bunk
Moreland is comedy because he was the funniest detective ever.
One of my most prized possessions is a piece of art featuring a quote from Bunk Moreland.
And I always thought that Tony Soprano's wife,
Carmella,
was the most evil character on the show because she's the only one who actually knew the difference between good and evil. Everyone else is going in the just natural direction they thought their life should be flowing in. She knew it was bad the whole time and still did it.
Yeah, she played a far more difficult role, I thought.
Oh, much more complicated.
So that's why she just jumps off the screen.
Do you ever watch either of you guys watch Nurse Jackie?
Yeah. Oh, she's dark as hell in that too.
Yeah, I never watched that one, but she's supposed to be great.
It was like, Showtime series.
That's a binge.
It also has
like the
Betty
Shield
Gilpin.
Is a binge.
Shield is a great show. I've just started watching that recently.
I'm glad you brought up the Shield. That's a great show.
Speaking of Walton Goggins,
that's where once he did that, he was ruined for me because he's basically Orson Welles and Citizen Kane.
He's that guy.
He's
forever.
Not going to be anything but that guy. Because that guy was brilliant.
Yeah.
And everything else he does from here on in, that's Walton Goggins doing something.
It's like Jason Alexander in Seinfeld.
You're the tough spot. Which is funny because Jason Alexander is like a song and dance man. Like George is the farthest, that's Larry David that he's playing. And somehow Jason Alexander ends up pigeonholed as that. It's a funny thing.
The California Bulls, correct. That was the fake football team on HBO's First and Ten.
Nice.
Good times.
Someone
there's a group of the audience that's frankly inspiring me as lonely people.
The narrator from Hookers on the Point.
I was going to read that text.
Is an incredible, incredible thing to just throw out on this fire.
Larry David did get mentioned. John Oliver, an interesting mention because not a narrative show, not a character per se, but he is kind of playing a character.
No, he's him. He's the observer.
Yeah, I guess you're
right. That's not an act.
It's not like...
I mean, I've seen him act like in some Britcoms.
He was in Community.
Good. Yeah.
He can be quite funny.
But, that's him writing to you.
You're right.
Through 2 weeks of NFL football, what is the standout moment, the biggest takeaway? What is it?
Mahomes. The totality of Mahomes in one quarter. He just showed you in essentially 9 minutes... not only why he's the best player in the league, but why it's not going to be an argument for about a decade. That's how game-changing he is.
It's going to take a head coaching change, and maybe at that point in his career when that happens, he'll be big enough to stand on his own. But it's going to take a head coaching change or a devastating injury to take him off this arc that he's on right now.
Or which a bad general manager.
Yeah, which as Peter King described... is quite possibly the greatest beginning to any career professional football's ever seen.
I'd have to think about that for a minute because Jim Brown jumped off immediately. So did Gale Sayers.
Well, just quarterbacks, though, let's say.
Well, okay, quarterbacks? John Unitas?
Showed up as MVP finished product.
Yeah, oh, no, he was drop-dead amazing from the start. Again, in a different era of football, but...
I'd say if you got to go back to Johnny U, then it's pretty impressive
well,
stuff.
Well, that's just one guy. I'd have to think about others, but he stands out. I mean, Montana does not stand out in that way.
None of the guys of my youth came in that good.
No, it's been a while, but I want to be at least fair to earlier eras because I don't like to punish guys for being born too early.
Well, you know who was one of the best quarterbacks of my lifetime was Troy Aikman, and Troy Aikman was 1-15 his first year in football. I mean, he didn't suck, but he wasn't.
He avoided being killed, which was all you could do on that team because that team was dreadful.
That was bad. That was really, really bad.
And that's one of the advantages Mahomes had is, unlike most highly ranked quarterbacks coming out of college, he landed on a really good football team.
With a
and
good
he got
coach,
a year to watch.
And he got a year to watch.
Tutelage. Get some. Biggest takeaway. 2 weeks of football is what?
From everything, not just locally? Everything,
the whole damn thing.
It's the Pats. I hate it. They're winning the Super Bowl again. I mean, unless they get derailed by injury, they're going to win the Super Bowl again. And I wish it wasn't the case, but it is.
Yeah, but this is one of the years where they're going to deserve it because they have the best defense and
fine.
Their offense is
fine.
I know you hate it.
I don't
but
even
I mean,
care anymore if they deserve it. It makes me angry and annoyed.
Well, then stop watching football because that's your only escape.
The season does kind of feel over for everyone who isn't the New England Patriots right now. And we're all talking about the Patriots offense. They have allowed 3 points in 2 weeks of football with the most forced turnovers, the fewest yards allowed. They're allowing third down conversions at the stingiest rate in all of football, just 18.5%. The season does. It's probably over for everyone. In the Patriots' last three games alone, which includes a Super Bowl, they've allowed 6 points.
This is, but many people who have watched the Patriots for years say this is the best defense they've ever had.
Look out, kids.
And it's not getting any tougher for them next week.
Thank you to Dieter Kurtenbaugh, Ian Williams, Peter King, Ray, Matt, Albie, Elena. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone. Gone.
Who would have thought photosynthesis would have played a role in today's show?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.